Thanks very much. It's very nice to be here, and thank you for organizing this special session. We'll be talking about particle filters to solve nonlinear filtering problems. So the problem is to estimate x, which is d-dimensional, and we're given a dynamical system which can be nonlinear in x, as well as measurements, sequence of measurements, which can be nonlinear in x. And the usual approach in particle filtering is to compute the entire conditional density of x conditioned on all the measurements, which is a very, very ambitious thing to do, and hence the basic problem is computational complexity. So here is a plot that we made about 8 or 9 years ago for the bootstrap particle filter, what I call the classical particle filter. It illustrates the problem in high dimensions. Different dimensional state vectors. So one-dimensional problems are easy and high-dimensional problems are hard. That's the message of the chart. The vertical axis is the error, estimation error, relative to optimal. So this is optimal performance. And the horizontal axis is the number of particles, million particles, 10-dimensional state vector, about 10 orders of magnitude worse than optimal. That's the problem. Now, it's also been the focus of the research in particle filters for the last 15 or so years. The theory I'll be talking about today fixes this problem, at least for a certain class of examples. So here is the same problem for a 30-dimensional state vector, stable plant. You get essentially optimal performance even for just as few as 100 particles. So if you contrast 10-dimensional state vector with a million particles, 10 orders of magnitude worse than optimal, to the theory I'll be talking about today, there's about a 4-order of magnitude improvement, at least for this example. That example was a stable plant. Here is an extremely unstable plant, meaning all the eigenvalues are in the left half, or in the right half plane, and 5-dimensional state vector is essentially optimal for just 100 particles. If the plant is higher dimensional, say 30-dimensional, you need more particles to approach optimality. But one shouldn't get too excited about that sort of result. These are just linear systems. It's an assurance that at least for linear systems, the new theory I'll be talking about is interesting. Here is a highly nonlinear example, 100 particles, 6 dimensions. The theory I'm talking about here beats the extended Kalman filter by roughly an order of magnitude. So there's a hint that there's something interesting, useful, new in the theory I'm talking about. I'll show you more nonlinear examples later. The second question is the computational complexity. The theory I'm talking about here, which we call exact flow, is compared to, say, the bootstrap particle filter and other particle filters for 4 different dimensional state vectors going from 5 to 30. For 100,000 particles, the new theory is roughly 4 orders of magnitude faster. That's running in MATLAB on a single PC. And the question is, why is that? That's quite surprising. It's because we don't resample. We have no proposal density, and we never, ever resample particles. And the bottleneck in a normal particle filter is the resampling. So by eliminating that, we've improved performance by about 4 orders of magnitude speed up. So we have about 3 or 4 orders of magnitude fewer particles required, in addition to 3 or 4 orders of magnitude faster execution of the code. So these put together is 6 or 8 orders of magnitude faster computation for the same accuracy. In addition to that, the theory I'll be telling you about this afternoon is embarrassingly parallelizable, meaning that each individual particle has its own individual computation, not interacting in a strong way with other particles. This allows one to code these algorithms and say GPUs, 1,000 GPUs, you might get a speed up of a factor of 100. This is unlike other particle filters where there's a very strong bottleneck because of the resampling. And again, because we do not resample, we've eliminated that bottleneck. So how does this work? What's the theory? Well, actually, the first question is, what's the problem? The problem is sort of surprising. Any nonlinear filter would consist of these two parts, a prediction of the probability density and the application of Bayes' rule. So this is a pretty complicated operation. It amounts to solving a partial differential equation, whereas this operation is about as simple as you can imagine. It's just multiplying two functions at a point. And the very interesting, surprising, but true situation is that this is where the problem is, for the most part. It's well known. It's been well known for many years. It goes by the name of particle degeneracy. And this is just a cartoon that illustrates what it means. If the prior density of the state is well represented at these points, called particles, but you wish to multiply the red curve times the blue curve, it turns out that quite often it's unlikely to have particles in the right position to represent that product of the red and the blue curve. So somehow or other, one would like to position the particles or get a new set of particles or move the particles so as to be able to get a good representation of the product. And that's what we'll do. And we'll do it starting with an idea that is not our idea and not a new idea. It first occurs in a paper about 10 years ago by Simon Godsall, who will be giving a talk later here. It's to define a flow of the probability density from the prior g to the posteriori, the product of g times h, through this single-valued parameter lambda. Lambda is like time. Lambda goes from 0 to 1, from the prior to the posteriori. And you can see when lambda is equal to 1, with p will be equal to the product of g times h. What you'd really like to do, however, is somehow or other compute a flow of particles. And that's what I'll tell you how to do. Flow means move the particles using an ordinary differential equation from lambda at 0 to lambda at 1. So the name of the game is to compute the flow. We can do that in a large number of examples. And the way to do it is to express that flow as a function. And it turns out the function is related to the solution of this partial differential equation. The partial differential equation is extremely simple. If you had to have a partial differential equation, it's about the nicest one to get. It's linear, it's first order, and it has constant coefficients. On the other hand, we're particular about the solution, that is, we want the flow to be a stable dynamical system. And secondly, the left-hand side is a known function, but it's only known at random points, in particular at the particles. But we can solve it nevertheless using many different methods. It's a. It's furthermore, I should point out, it's a linear partial differential equation that's highly underdetermined. That is, it's a single scalar-valued partial differential equation, but it's in D unknown, so it's generically underdetermined. There are many, many ways to solve it, and I'll show you a few in this brief period of time that I have to talk about the subject. The first one is the most concrete, the simplest to understand, and the fastest for a special case. The special case is if the prior and the likelihood are both Gaussian, then we can solve that partial differential equation with this function that's affine in X, where the matrix A and the vector B are explicitly computable. And the very good news is that that dynamical flow is automatically stable. All the eigenvalues are in the left half plane. A second simple explicit solution that's also quite fast is given here. Suppose you were given the divergence of F, then you can pick the minimum norm solution F as the generalized inverse of this gradient of the log of the the density times the log of the likelihood plus the divergence. And all of that's quite explicitly computable. It turns out that the generalized inverse is nothing of this gradient, is nothing more than the transpose divided by the square of the norm. And so it only amounts to this. So the flow of the particles goes in the direction of the gradient of the log of the density. And if that gradient of the log of the density is zero, the flow stops, which is in agreement with one's intuition. Yet a third solution, which is fairly easy to grasp intuitively and quickly, is that we can solve that PDE. We can turn the PDE into Poisson's equation, famous in physics, by asking that the vector field be the gradient of a scalar potential. And then the Green's function for Poisson's equation, even in d dimensions, is well known. It's that. Differentiate it to get the gradient, and we can pick either of these two solutions. And it turns into an algorithm, where the algorithm is the following. The direction of the flow of the particles is given as the sum over particles equal to the basically the electron density in this charged particle field times something that looks an awful lot like, if D was equal to 3, this would be an inverse square law, so it looks like Coulomb's law. Coulomb's law, famous from physics, in particular electromagnetics and fluid flow and also gravity. So here we have particles, which are mathematical constructs to solve a nonlinear filtering problem, that should flow according to a famous physical law called Coulomb's law. In addition to being interesting from a physical viewpoint, it's very fast. Other ways to solve it. A concrete example for a highly nonlinear problem is to solve the problem where you're given the measurements of the cosine of an angle and then asked to estimate the angle. Of course, that's highly ambiguous from a single measurement. So one has to depend on the motion of the angle over time and the knowledge of that dynamics. And the conditional density is highly multimodal, bimodal at the beginning. And so a Kalman filter, extended Kalman filter, would diverge. The error would grow with time. But if you wait about 20 seconds, the particle filter that we design converges and beats the extended Kalman filter. And the reason for this is, of course, extended Kalman filters cannot represent multimodal densities. Here is a movie of the particle flow based on the very first measurement. There's about 1,000 particles. Each little dot is a particle. It's in this two-dimensional state space. Initially, there's a uniform distribution of uncertainty in angle and angle rate. And as a result of making a single measurement, what the differential equations that we derived automatically do is create that conditional density. So we go from a uniform density to a bimodal density. I'm just wondering, Ludmilla, five minutes? The most general solution for this PDE can be written out this way, in terms of the generalized inverse C sharp of this linear differential operator, which is a matrix plus the divergence operator, plus a projection into the D minus 1 dimensions orthogonal to that direction. And Y is anything. So this is a very explicit, simple representation of the ambiguity of the arbitrariness in the solution. The solution to this equation is highly arbitrary. And the question is, can you pick a Y that is a good solution, a particularly good solution? And the answer is yes, you can pick Y to stabilize this flow, to make that a stable dynamical system. And you can do it in a very, very simple way. You can just pick Y equal to minus 10x as an example. Quickly, two nonlinear examples. 12-dimensional state vector. You measure three components. They're all quadratic measurements. The error of the particle filter decreases as the number of particles increases, of course. And you finally beat the extended Kalman filter performance by about 2 orders of magnitude, similar for the cubic nonlinearity. I want to summarize by saying, by just repeating what I've said already, emphasizing a few facts. Speed is of the essence here. And what I've shown you is a new algorithm based on a new theory that's orders of magnitude faster than certainly the bootstrap filter and other standard particle filters. At least for certain nonlinear examples that I've shown you, it's orders of magnitude more accurate than the extended Kalman filter. It focuses on solving the key problem with standard particle filters, that is, the problem of particle degeneracy. And it does it by moving the particles to the right part of state space to compute the product of two functions corresponding to Bayes' rule. We never resample particles because we don't have to, and we'd rather not because that's a time-consuming operation. Since we'd never resample, we never need a proposal density. We don't use any Markov chain Monte Carlo methods. We never represent the Prouty density, but rather we represent the log of the unnormalized Prouty density. I've asserted that this is highly parallelizable, and you might believe me, but if you don't, you can try it for yourself on your favorite set of GPUs. And a final point is this magic or fraud, or is there some reason that one can grasp intuitively why we should be getting better performance? And I think a hint at a reason is we're not solving the most general filtering problem. We are not solving all the nonlinear filtering problems that particle filters could solve. We're solving a special class of problems where the Prouty densities are nowhere vanishing and continuously differentiable in the state vector, which is a more restricted class, so that we can write differential equations and exploit the good ideas that physicists and mathematicians have cooked up over the last 200 years to advantage. At least that's my current thought. Maybe I'll think something else after a few years of reflection. Questions, please. Simon. Nowhere vanishing. Yeah. Of course, in terms of computational complexity, the structure of the problem can greatly influence, as you well know, the resulting computational complexity. But from a theoretical viewpoint, all I need is nowhere vanishing, continuously differentiable densities. Peter. The particles are asked to follow the conditional density throughout the time prediction step, as in any particle filter, and the particles are asked to follow the conditional density at the before and after Bayes' rule. So if the algorithm is doing what I've asked it to do, the particles do in fact satisfy the conditional density at every single point in the algorithm and at each step. There's no proof that that happens. I have no idea what the sufficient conditions would be on such a proof. Obviously, you need enough particles. You need enough regularity of the densities and the dynamics and the likelihoods. We're nowhere close to having a theory that would be useful in guaranteeing such a result. It's proof by MATLAB on a subset of examples that we have chosen.
You said that to make it faster,
for all the examples that we have worked out six different classes of examples. Lots of linear examples, quadratic, cubic, radar examples, both with and without range measurements, and the measurements of phase through the cosine. So in all of those examples that we've run ourselves, we get better, much better accuracy than the extended Kalman filter.
Comparing to the sampling part of
the filter. Right. For the linear cases, and for the quadratic and cubic cases, yes. For a given number of particles, we beat the, a selected set of standard particle filters. You probably know that there's lots and lots of particle filters, and we'll probably hear about new ones this afternoon that I've not known about, so an exhaustive check would be difficult, but... suppose you don't believe me. I'll give you the code, and you can check it on your favorite set of particle filters as point of comparison. I think that's a way to make progress. Yeah. Other questions?
Okay, let's thank our speaker.